This podcast is brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. Thanks for listening.
We'll now have a second part of the Bible reading today. I'll now pass the time over to our sister Faith, who will be reading God's word to us.
Today's passage is taken from John chapter 4. We're reading from verse 27 to 54. If you're using the church Bibles, it's 1067, page 1067. Verse 27. Just then, his disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come, see a man who told me everything I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out to the town and made their way towards him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labor." Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I've ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed 2 days. And because of his words, many more became believers. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." After the 2 days, he left for Galilee. Now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they also had been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned the water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay ill at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. "Unless you people see signs and wonders," Jesus told him, "you will never believe." The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus replied, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on the way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time when his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday, at 1 PM, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." So he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I'll now pass the time over to Pastor Nick, who will explain today's passage from John 4 to us.
Hey, good morning, friends. Welcome if you're joining us for the first time. Let me pray for us as we look at God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Isaiah chapter 55 verse 11 says, "Your word will not return to you empty, but accomplish what you desire and achieve the purpose for which you sent it." May your word do its work in us today as we listen to your word preached. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, how do we know who to listen to? How do you know who to listen to? When I was in school, we had swimming lessons at a public swimming pool. So after swimming lesson, it was our recess time. And during this half an hour recess, we sort of make it back to school for a lesson. For me, usually the next lesson was mother tongue. So some of my friends didn't like mother tongue. So they would say, "Hey, walk slower lah. Or bro, I'm hungry. Let's get some breakfast." Then we arrive 15 minutes late for mother tongue and we'll get scolded by the teacher. So who you listen to can really affect your life. So my friends told me it's okay to be late for class. I listened and I also got scolded. And this is also true for the more important things. You see, if we listen to bad financial advice, we'll lose money. If we listen to bad health advice, our bodies will be hurt. I heard of someone who was in a cult, and this cult told the members that they should not seek medical treatment for sickness. Just pray and you'll be healed. So this person didn't seek medical treatment for sickness, and he died of something he could have been cured from. So that's on the physical world, but also in the spiritual world, if we take bad spiritual advice, we can lose things of infinite value. Who we listen to can affect our lives. So we want to listen to the right people. So whose words do we need to have in our lives? Our voice? Our friend's voice? The world's voice? The world's voice through entertainment and doom scrolling? Now, what's the world's voice? The world's voice tells us the physical world is all that there is. That's the physical world is most important. So if you're good enough in this physical world, then the physical world deceives you some more. It says, "You're good enough. No one will condemn you. God will not condemn you." Last week, we learned about Nicodemus. Nicodemus is the best of God's people, a member of the Jewish ruling council. But even he is not good enough. He needs to be born again. See, chapter 3, verse 5, Jesus told this Nicodemus, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and of spirit." He needs to be born again. He needs a spiritual reset. He needs to believe in Jesus. Otherwise, Nicodemus, the best of us, he can't escape God's condemnation. So this is what Jesus said further on. "Whoever believes in him, whoever believes in Jesus, is not condemned. But whoever, like Nicodemus, does not believe, stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So when the world finds you not good enough, so that's what the world finds you good enough. The world deceives you in thinking that things are all right. But if the world finds you not good enough for this world, then the world condemns you. Because the physical world is all that there is, and you don't deserve to be part of this physical world. Today we'll see a woman who's the opposite of Nicodemus. A woman, she's not even named. And verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18, Jesus says that she has had five ex-husbands. So the world condemns her. The world's voice condemns her. "You are a bad person. Stay away. Don't contaminate us." So it's into this deceiving and this condemning world that Jesus comes. And Jesus reveals a spiritual world and God who is spirit. And Jesus speaks the truth and life to all. So Jesus' voice in John chapter 4 tells us to be amazed at Jesus' generosity and be aware of Jesus' mission, be careful to honor Jesus. First, be amazed at Jesus' generosity. So in chapter 4, verse 4, Jesus is in Samaria. He's sitting by a well that Jacob dug. And it was noon. Noon was the hottest part of the day. And this hottest part of the day, a Samaritan woman comes in. And she's carrying this big bucket, hoping to draw a big bucket of water to supply her for the rest of the day. Now, why is she doing this hard work of drawing a big bucket of water alone in the hot sun? Because the world has condemned her. The world said, "Don't contaminate us with your filth, you immoral woman." So no one is there with her to draw water with her. But Jesus' voice is full of acceptance. Jesus knows the situation, but Jesus asks her for a drink. So in verse 9, the surprised Samaritan says, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Now what's going on here is, the Jews and Samaritans, they descended from their ancestor Jacob. The Samaritans descended from the Israelites who have intermarried with the nations. But the Jews, they are people who have remained pure. So they are the pure race. So the Jews, they despise this impure race. And then the Samaritans, they despise the arrogant Jews. So when this Jewish Jesus asks the Samaritan woman for a drink, it's almost like a Russian asking a Ukrainian for water, or Israeli asking for a Palestinian for a drink. So in our passage today, Jesus wants to cross this racial divide to give her spiritual water, living water. In verse 10, Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you have asked him, he will have given you living water." And verse 14, "But whoever drinks this the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." So the water that Jesus offers leads to eternal life. This living water leads to eternal life, and that is talking about the Holy Spirit. So we'll cover this in a few weeks' time. So in chapter 7, Jesus talks about this living water, what it is. Chapter 7, "Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this, he meant the Spirit, means the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So Jesus wants to give the Samaritan woman water that will satisfy her eternally. But the world has deceived the woman to think that, to only think of the physical world, that the physical world is all that there is. So in the passage, she only thinks of physical water. In verse 15, she thinks of physical water when she says, "Sir, give me this water so I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." She doesn't want to come back here to draw water. Now, why does she need to come to this place to draw water? Because, as I said earlier, she's a sinner, but also she's an undeserving sinner. So in verse 16, we see that Jesus asked her to bring her husband. And then we're shocked by the number of ex-husbands she's had. And so she has 5, plus she's cohabiting with yet another guy. Now perhaps this woman is looking for security. And she's looking for security in this physical world. So the woman's voice tells her, the physical world is all that there is. Seek security in marriage. But marriage cannot secure you for eternity. Instead of security, marriage becomes an insecurity. See, 5 husbands have taken her and left her. Now maybe one died. But 5 husbands later, she's got no money from all the divorces. And her live-in partner is enjoying all the benefits without promising to care for her. Marriage has failed to keep her safe. Relying on marriage as like a serial bride has left her a serial divorcee. Her voice is wrong. And Jesus knows all of this about her. And Jesus still offers her living water to this undeserving sinner, to forgive her of her sin of seeking security in marriage, and to give her the Spirit, for her to be born again of the Spirit. Now, friends, we are like this woman. Our voices tell us to focus on this world, to seek security from this world, in relationships, or grades, or work, or health, or in our children's relationship, grades, work, and health. Now, these things can't secure us forever. Now, people used to think that the property market can keep them safe. Then the market crashed. And some time ago, people thought that social media was the place to be. Then retrenchments happened. Right now, the big thing in the world is AI. That's where our jobs are. We're relying more and more on AI, but AI will fail us. When we trust in the world for security, we reject the eternal security from Jesus. Jesus knows the voices we listen to, the struggle we face, the self-doubt that plagues us. But Jesus speaks to us, undeserving sinners, to offer us living water, to forgive us of seeking security from this physical world, and to give us the Spirit, for us to be born again of the Spirit, so that we can have this spiritual reset to be God's people. Okay, next, Jesus shows his power in knowing the woman's situation, and the woman's response in verse 19 is to say, "Jesus, you are a prophet." Now, this is a big statement, because God, when the Samaritans think of prophet, they think of this very special prophet like Moses. So in the Old Testament, God would speak to Moses, this special prophet, directly, and Moses would speak to the people. So the Samaritans were waiting for this prophet like Moses, this prophet that would speak to God's people directly from God. So God told Moses about this person. God said, "I'll raise up for them a prophet like you from among their fellow Israelites, and I'll put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command them." The Samaritans believed that this prophet will one day come and will fix everything. So they rejected all the other prophets after Moses. Everyone who is not this prophet like Moses, they rejected, like Ezekiel, right? Jeremiah, all rejected, because they're looking for this prophet like Moses. So when this woman says, I see your prophet, she realizes that that Jesus is this prophet like Moses. Because God must have told Jesus things about her, things that no stranger can guess. And since Jesus is this prophet who speaks God's word, Jesus can speak on God's behalf on this divisive issue between Jews and Samaritans. That means where to worship. Verse 20, the woman asks, where to worship? Worship on this mountain, that's Mount Gerizim, or worship in Jerusalem, this other mountain, at the temple? And Jesus says, the place of worship is going to be irrelevant. What's most important is to worship the way God wants to us to worship. So in verse 23, Jesus says, yeah, the time is coming, and now has come, when true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshippers must worship in Spirit and in the Spirit and in truth. The Father seeks worshippers who worship in Spirit and truth, because God is Spirit. Now, when the passage says God is Spirit, this does not mean God the Father equals God the Spirit, as if they are the same person. No, they are distinct persons. What this means is God the Father belongs in the spiritual realm, not the physical realm, not the physical world. So God is higher than all things that are physical. This means that worshipping the God in spirit, who is spirit, cannot be bound by a physical place. If that's the case, then how can physical people worship a God who is spiritual, who is spirit? Well, we must worship, the Bible says, in spirit and truth. What does it mean to worship in spirit and truth? The short answer, worshipping through Jesus. So spirit means worshipping God through Jesus, who causes us to be born again of the Spirit. So again, chapter 3, verse 5, very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. So through Jesus and water means that God washes us clean from sin, and God gives us the Spirit to help us obey him. So only this means that only people who are born again, only people who believe in Jesus, can worship God. It's born of Spirit. So truth. That means we must worship through Jesus, because Jesus alone tells us who God is. So John chapter 1, verse 18 says, no one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and closest relation with God, with the Father, has made him known. Jesus makes the God the Father known. So it's only those who submit to Jesus' truth about God can worship God. If you're not a believer, if you don't listen to Jesus, you cannot worship God. So how do we worship God? Through Jesus? Well, we worship God through the Bible. That's how we do that today. So the Bible points us to Jesus. As we read the Bible, we learn about Jesus to be saved, and we learn about God. And this is where we meet God, and God meets us. That's what happens as we read the Bible. As Faith was reading the Bible to us earlier, as we were reading the Bible together, we are meeting the living God. God speaks to us through His Word, and we respond to His Word in prayer, in praise, and in godly living. So those who worship God, we are not bound by any physical location, not in Jerusalem, not in Mount Gerizim, and not in GBHQ, because Jesus brings true worship in spirit and truth. Okay, that's what spirit worship in spirit and truth means. But the more amazing thing is this. You see, Jesus brings true worship of God for undeserving sinners. Not people who can do it, not people who are perfect, but undeserving sinners. Like the Samaritan woman invited to worship God. Undeserving sinners like you and I, we are invited to worship God. Now, what Jesus says is mind-blowing, that undeserving sinners can get living water from Jesus, that undeserving sinners can worship God. How can we know that Jesus has the authority to say any of this? And how do we know Jesus is not making all this up? Why should we listen to Jesus? In verse 25, the woman said, I know that Messiah called Christ is coming. When he comes, he will explain everything to us. The only voice we should rely on is the Messiah's. The Messiah is the only one who can speak on God's behalf to explain everything. Does Jesus think he's the Messiah? Verse 26, then Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. Yes, he is. Jesus is the Messiah. But Jesus is more than that. Jesus, when he says, I am he, literally, it's I am. I am. That's God's name. So Jesus declares that he is both God and Messiah. Jesus' authority as both God and Messiah to offer living water to undeserving sinners, to bring true worship of God to undeserving sinners. Jesus is generous as God and Messiah to welcome us to get living water and to worship Him. So be amazed at His generosity. Now this means three things for us. So before we think about, hey, what must we do from this passage, but let's pause and just be amazed at Jesus. Be in awe of Jesus. Be amazed at how generous He is to undeserving sinners like us. You see, the world speaks condemnation when you fail. But Jesus welcomes the undeserving sinner. Jesus offers you living water, a spiritual restart. He invites you to worship God through Him. Be amazed at Jesus. Next, come to Jesus. Ignore the voices that said you are not good enough. Ignore the voices that tell you to focus on this physical world. The voices that say that the voices that say you're good enough by the world standards. On the opposite side, the voices that say you're bad, you're so bad you cannot reach God's standard. Ignore those voices that deceive and condemn you. No, listen to Jesus. Jesus' voice in the Bible. He welcomes all sinners. He offers forgiveness and a new start. So no matter where you've been, what you've done, whether people know it or not, come to Jesus. And third, worship through Jesus. So Jesus gives us a new start. So we live new lives the way God wants through the Bible. And we can only know Jesus' generosity from us from the Bible. So read the Bible more to be more amazed, be more in wonder of Jesus' generosity. Because seeing Jesus in the Bible is that's where God meets us. And we meet God. And then we pray prayers that God once teaches us to pray. We praise God for His generosity to us. And we live new lives to follow God. Because if there's no Jesus, then really there's no worship. We are still in darkness. If you're not born again and you try to do good, it's not worship. If you're trying to worship God not according to the Bible, that's not worship. Then our prayer, our praise, our upright living just becomes our false security. Just another voice to fool us to think that we are okay. Listen to Jesus and be amazed at Jesus' generosity. Next, we must listen to Jesus to be aware of Jesus' mission. In verse 28, the woman leaves her water jar at the well to gather the town. And so that's verse 28, then 11 verses later in verse 39, become. But in between verse 28 and verse 29, Jesus helps us to see the situation from the heavenly perspective. Just that his mission is to harvest for eternal life. So what happened here is the disciples left the tired Jesus at this well in verse 6 to get food for him. But when he come back in verse 28-29, Jesus is already energized. In verse 32, he says he doesn't need the food that they bought. Now what is it that energizes Jesus? In verse 34, Jesus said, "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work." So it's not physical food. You see, the disciples are again deceived to focus on this physical world. Like the woman who wants living water to never come to this well again. Or like Nicodemus, who thought he must enter his mother's womb a second time. So Jesus teaches his disciples to see things spiritually. Not just think of things as in the physical world, but see things spiritually. For Jesus, he needs to do his mission. His mission is to do the Father's will, and the Father's will is to harvest. Okay, so this is Jesus' mission, to do the Father's will. Father's will is to harvest. Verse 35, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest. I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for the harvest. Even now, the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may be glad together. So the saying in verse 35 is, you sow first, and 4 months later, it's harvest time. But Jesus tells the disciples, open their eyes and look at the fields. What fields? I can imagine Jesus pointing at the coming Samaritans. And says at the coming Samaritans, that's the field that's ripe for harvest. Jesus will harvest a crop for eternal life because this Samaritan is going to come to listen to him to get eternal life. And that's what the Father wants. The Father wants people to come to Jesus, to worship him through Jesus, and receive eternal life. And what does this harvest look like? What's Jesus' method? In verse 39, many Samaritans believe in Jesus, so Jesus stayed with them 2 more days. And during these 2 days, in verse 41, even more Samaritans believed. And Jesus' method is in verse 42. This is what they said. They said to the woman, "We no longer believe just because of what you said. Now we believe, now we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this man really is the Savior of the world." Jesus harvests by speaking. The Samaritans hear Jesus' voice, and they believe Jesus' words, and they receive eternal life. So now Jesus saves them from God's wrath, and they experience Jesus as the Savior of the world. So what does believing in Jesus actually mean? Now, a Grab driver told me that long ago, his friend told him about Jesus. And then he said to me, "I believe in Jesus, but I just can't go to church because I must still offer joss sticks to my relatives." So what he means is, he believes in Jesus, that Jesus is a real person. And that's it. That's not the kind of belief that's in the Bible. That's not what Jesus wants. You see, in verse 42, we have to learn from the Samaritans. Believing means that we believe what Jesus says. Not just that Jesus is a real person. So I know that there are some people who say that Jesus is a great teacher, but they don't listen to Jesus. Now that's rubbish. You say Jesus is a great teacher, you listen to what Jesus teaches. In this passage, the Samaritans teach us what believing Jesus means. Listen to Jesus. So what have we seen about Jesus? Believe in Jesus that Jesus is God, as he says. Believe in Jesus that Jesus is a Messiah, as he says. believe in Jesus that he is the only way to worship, as he says. That's how Samaritans receive living water and receive eternal life. Jesus' mission is to save. So that's what we focus on. That's what we must focus on in things we do in our church, at home, and at work. Because we want to be part of what Jesus is doing in the world to save the world. Help people find Jesus. We help people find Jesus. We help Jesus carry out his mission to save them. So prioritize Jesus' mission in our lives. And how we do that? Well, we pray. We ask Jesus to save those who don't know him. Now, Jesus is interested to save, so we pray confidently that he will hear our prayers. Next, we tell others. Now, just like the Samaritan woman who told the Samaritans, and the Samaritans who told even more Samaritans, we can join the harvest for eternal life by pointing people to Jesus. Pointing people to Jesus in the Bible. Yeah, I was at a Christian bookshop before, and I was thinking of a gift to give someone who was completing a Christianity Explored course, but not yet a Christian. And also the salesperson and I had a conversation, and he says, "Oh, who are you buying for?" And I said, "Oh, I'm buying this gift for someone who is exploring Christianity." And this person said, "Oh, well, you must get him this worship CD. Yeah, so that the person can feel God's presence." Now, according to what the Bible says, according to what the passage says, the way to meet God is not through a CD, not through your Spotify playlist. The way you meet God is through the Bible. We point people to Jesus. We're not saying, here's a worship CD. Here's my pastor's, I don't know, my pastor's sermon. No, we point people to the Bible. See for themselves who Jesus is. Because Jesus is the savior of the world. So praying and telling can go beyond our borders, can go beyond Singapore. I pray for Jesus to work in the world and go to the nations to tell people about Jesus. To join Jesus in doing the Father's will, to harvest for eternal life. What we see today is we listen to Jesus because he's generous to undeserving sinners, and we listen to Jesus because his mission is to harvest for eternal life. And next, be careful to honor Jesus. You see, in our passage in verse 44, verse 44 and 45, people dishonor Jesus in a very unexpected way. In verse 44, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So Jesus says he will get no honor. And expect in verse 45, he'll say, and Jesus arrived in Galilee, and the Galileans kicked him out. But that's not what verse 45 says. You see, verse 45 says, when he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all he had done in Jerusalem and at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. The Galileans welcomed him. They believed in Jesus. They saw the miracles that Jesus did. So in chapter 2, verse 23, at the Passover in Jerusalem. So they believed that Jesus is a miracle worker. So they welcomed Jesus as a miracle worker. No, they're not like the Samaritans who listened to Jesus' voice. The Samaritans will honor Jesus by listening to Jesus. The Galileans don't ask Jesus, Jesus, can you teach me more about God? How can I worship God? No. The Galileans say, give us another miracle. That's how Jesus gets no honor from these Galileans. The Galileans who only accept Jesus as a miracle worker. And verse 46 focuses on one such Galilean who came to Jesus for miracles. Now, we see here this situation is desperate. He's not here for a show. He's here for his son's life. He's begging Jesus, Jesus, come to my house now. My son is dying. Heal my dying son. Come to my house now. But Jesus doesn't do what the man wants. Verse 50, go, Jesus replied, your son will live. The man took Jesus at his word and departed. Jesus didn't go to his house. Jesus just spoke life. And the royal official took Jesus at his word and goes home. He finds his son physically living. But that's not all. In verse 53, he and his whole household believed in Jesus. Because of that, he and his whole household receive eternal life. They receive true spiritual life. And verse 54 tells us, this is the second sign that Jesus performed. the second sign that shows us something more about Jesus. What we learn from the second sign is that to honor Jesus, believe his word. Like the royal official, like the Samaritan town, like the Samaritan woman. Those who believe Jesus' words receive life. But those who reject Jesus, they are those who don't listen to his words. Now, some people don't believe Jesus' words because they just don't accept him. And we see more of these people next week. But some people, like the Galileans in this passage, they don't accept Jesus' words, don't believe Jesus' words because they're distracted. They just want the show. They just want the miracles. Now, what's the outcome for those people who don't believe in Jesus? What's the outcome is that they don't receive life from Jesus. Those who don't believe remain spiritually condemned. So Jesus is generous. Jesus has come to save, and we must honor Jesus. We honor Jesus by listening to his words. So believe Jesus' words. So what does this mean for us? This means first, know Jesus' words. And read the book of John, read the Bible, because the Bible, as we said, is where God and us meet. God meets us to speak to us, and we respond according to the Bible. But this passage also tells us more than listening to what Jesus says. You see, the man in verse 50 took Jesus at his word. So second thing, after knowing what Jesus says, is you take Jesus at his word. Trust Jesus' words. Believe that Jesus really is God and Messiah and the only way to worship God. But this passage also warns us that miracles can distract. Yes, Jesus can still heal today through supernatural miracles or through medicine. But some people only want Jesus if Jesus can do things for them, do a miracle, give them everything they ask for, give them a job they want, the spouse they want. Now, yes, some people might piously read the Bible, but don't know Jesus because they're only reading through the Bible to pick out verses out of context to give them false security, that Jesus will give them anything they ask for, almost like the royal official. What Jesus wants to give is more important. Jesus wants to give us eternal life. If we never hear Jesus' words as Jesus meant it, we dishonor Jesus and we might miss out on eternal life. So what have we seen today? We see that the world tries to deceive us. Okay, let me skip this. Yeah, the world tries to deceive us with thinking that this world is all that there is. And the world's voice, the world will tell us that God is happy with you if you're keeping to our rules. But if you're not good enough, then the world condemns you. The world cancels you. The world tells you, this world is all that there is, and I want you to have no part in it. Friends, don't let the world's voice drown out Jesus' voice. Because there's a spiritual world that's much more important than the physical world. Listen to Jesus. Be amazed at his generosity to undeserving sinners like us. Be aware of his mission to give eternal life to dying people and honor him by listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for nourishing us with your words of life. Please use this passage in us this week to continue your good work until it's complete at the day of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Hey, thank you, Pastor Nick, for reminding us about the amazing grace that comes from Jesus and how we should focus on his word to really seek who Jesus is and to drown out the voices of the world that reminds us or tell us otherwise. So to further encourage one another, Pastor Nick has prepared three discussion questions for us. But in view of time, we will not have time for discussion today, but I will still be reading out the three questions. Okay, so the three questions are, what strikes you about Jesus from today's passage? The second question is, what voices distract us from listening to Jesus? And the third question is, how can we listen better to Jesus? So I hope that these three questions, you can actually use them in your discussion during morning tea later on, or even lunch.
Thanks for listening to this podcast brought to you by Bethany Trinity Presbyterian Church. For more information, visit us online at busypc.sg.